Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I am so excited to be with you again this week. I am deep in the throes of the end of the semester and getting everything ready and ready to move to my new appointment. I'm very excited about all those things. But in the midst of all of it, it is still Advent. And I am so excited that we are coming together every week to worship together, but especially during this time of Advent, where we are lighting the candle of peace this week and just finding time in our busy days to find peace and quiet and hope. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. The book of Micah in the Old Testament prophesies about a lot of things that we see come to fruition during Advent and with the birth of John the Baptist and of Jesus. Hear now the words of Micah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and see if listening with fresh ears brings any reminders of things that are to come this season. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like washer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until the present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come now together and recite those things and remind ourselves of those things that we hold dear in our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today. We are filled with the hope of the light that you bring during Advent. And we are seeking peace in a world that seems to be full of unrest and darkness. Let your light shine brightly as a beacon of peace and hope as we move throughout the second week of Advent. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son, the Christ child that we seek, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This week's lectionary text is from the Gospel of Luke in the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. It is the preparing of the way of the Lord. Hear now the words of the Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysianus ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? As we come together on this second Sunday of Advent, let those things that you have laid on my heart shine brightly through me to all of those around. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My grandmother had a thing about angels. She loved to collect them. She loved the idea that angels were with us and around us all the time. She had brooches and pins. She had refrigerator magnets and framed sayings. She had statues and artwork. She surrounded herself with the beings that God uses for protection and for proclamation. I call upon angels of protection a lot in my prayer life. It was an angel who came to prepare the way for the baby Jesus and speak to Mary. It was angels that sang and proclaimed the good news of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. Matthew doesn't tell us exactly, but maybe it was angels that came to the Magi in a dream to have them go another way back home to save the life of the newborn king. And it was an angel perched on a stone at the entrance to an empty tomb that first told Mary Magdalene of the resurrection of the man of Jesus into Christ the Savior. No wonder Gogi loved angels. Our passage from Micah today is a foreshadowing of the coming of Christ. It is mainly a passage that tells of the role of John the Baptist, the one who would come to prepare the way for the ministry of Jesus, the one who would refine people and show them how to become the precious metals of gold and silver that define all who are righteous and faithful followers of the Lord. But there are other ways that the life of Christ was heralded and foretold. Listen to Micah 3:1 again as we see it through the lens of Advent. "See, I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." The messenger of Advent was the angel Gabriel. The messenger of the mission and ministry of Christ was John the Baptist. The parallels may seem like a stretch to some, but I could see it clearly this week as I studied. Maybe it's where I am in my own ministry of redemption and love of Christ. Maybe it's where the church and is in its ministry moving forward. But I'm comforted by the idea that we have people in our world like John the Baptist who help refine us and make us better, and at the same time we have angels guiding us in our faith. The other lectionary text for this week is Zechariah's song from Luke 1. Before there was doubting Thomas, there was doubting Zechariah. And who can blame them? He and Elizabeth prayed for years for a child, and one never came. Here in the South, people with good manners never ask a lady how old she is, but goodness, it was hard for everyone around not to be a little astonished at the idea of Long in the Tooth Liz to turn up pregnant. They had all but given up hope. And when Zachariah's hope was gone and he doubted, God took his voice to show all around him what a life without hope could get you. It's a cautionary tale for us all. When there seems to be no hope, when the doors of opportunity seem to be closing all around us, God will help us sit still and watch as he performs great miracles in our midst, so that our hearts and our hope and our voices may be restored. After the miracle of the birth of John the Baptist, Zechariah's voice returns, and he immediately prophesies in a song in verses 68 through 79. The last few verses of that praise and thanksgiving speak to the duality of the prophecy. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I love the words that he uses. Zechariah is definitely talking about his son John, but the words that he uses also remind me so much of the way the angels are also presented to us in Scripture. The dawn from on high will break upon us to shine upon those who sit in darkness. It makes me think of what Mary saw when the angel Gabriel came to her. It makes me think of those shepherds minding their own business, probably asleep in the fields, sitting in darkness, when the light breaks through and shines on them to tell them the good news and help them guide their feet to a way of peace, a way for them to see the new baby, the Christ child, that would bring peace to the world. It reminds me of the words of the great theologian Howard Thurman and his reflection called The Singing of Angels. In it, he speaks not only of the angels that show us the way, but the ways that they help light the new path before us. Thurman paints this beautiful picture. There must be always remaining in everyone's life some place for the singing of the angels, some place for that which in itself is breathlessly beautiful, and by an inherent prerogative, throwing all the rest of life into a new and created relatedness, something that gathers up into itself all the freshets and experience from the drab and commonplace areas of living, and glows into one bright light of penetrating beauty and meaning, and then passes. The commonplace is shot through now with new glory. Old burdens become lighter. Deep and ancient wounds lose much of their old hurting. The crown is placed over our heads that for the rest of our lives we're trying to grow tall enough to wear. Despite all the crassness of life, despite all the harshness of life, life is saved by the singing of angels. What old burdens and wounds do we need to turn from so that the rest of our lives can have new glory? What singing of angels do we need to be listening for so that new ways and new paths to peace can be made clear? The life of a UMC pastor is not usually very clear until the last minute. We live year to year with the excitement and uncertainty of the call of God. It's sometimes easy to miss the refinement that we need from the John the Baptist that God sends us and the heralding and light of the angels that try and show us the way. That can be true of churches as well. How has God been trying to refine Bethlehem? What light has been shining to lead you to peace? It can be scary to step out in faith, but there are so many ways that we are given help and light along the way. I think Isaiah said it best, and Luke thought so as well. The voices of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Whether we are the one crying out for help in the wilderness, or if we are listening for the cry of mercy and direction, we have to be prepared for the call. We have to be ready to see the salvation of God when it is placed in front of us, with a path so straight we cannot ignore it, with a path lit with the light of the angels and traversed by the prophets and the baptizers. Gogi collected a lot of things. She found pennies wherever she went. She loved shamrocks and hearts because the men of her family were born close to holidays. But it was the angels that she kept the closest. I think she might have been onto something. I think she knew that they were there to protect her along the way. I think I will follow her lead and look for the light of the angels to follow into the bright future that the Lord has for me, just like the one he has for all of you. The path to peace is lit by their bright, shining songs. Amen. This week, this second week of Advent, this peace week of Advent, let us look for those paths to peace. Look for those angels who are guiding the way. Look for the John the Baptist who are refining us as we go along the journey. They're the ones we should be following. In life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.